Exodus chapter 20, and I'll be reading the verses 18 through 21. But we are actually going to read a portion of chapter 19 also from Exodus. Our text is going to focus on 18 through 21 of chapter 20, but this morning I'm also going to read for our scripture reading chapter 19, verses 16 through 19. Exodus 19, 16 through 19. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently, and the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Then Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. Now to read in chapter 20, verse 18. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Thus the reading of God's word this morning. Once again this morning, we begin by looking at the liberal understanding of this passage. The liberals don't believe that Moses wrote the book of Exodus. They believe that the book of Exodus was in its original form a whole bunch of verses and passages that different scholars found laying around, and someone named a redactor, or used as a redactor, took all of those scripture verses and passages and stuck them together in what we now know as the book of Exodus. And so when they approach the book of Exodus, they are seeking to learn whether that redactor did a good job in his putting together of these various verses. And as they look at our scripture passage and as they write about the verses that we are looking at this morning in chapter 20, they believe that the redactor did not do a good job. Many of them take the perspective or the view that verses 18 and through 21 of chapter 20 would actually be better placed following verse 19 of chapter 19. God has revealed in Exodus 19, verses 16 through 19, the perspective of his coming down on the mountain. He comes, as it is described, in thunder and lightning. He comes with a cloud over the mountain. The people hear the trumpet blast and they are trembling. Mount Sinai is covered with smoke. The Lord has descended on it in fire, and smoke is billowing out from the top of it like smoke from a furnace. And then we read that Moses speaks and God answers him. In this first passage in Exodus 19, we read that the people are trembling. But nothing is revealed about what the people are thinking and saying to one another. In fact, as the rest of the chapter ends, we read of Moses going up on the mountain and Moses coming down the mountain with the law of God. But in chapter 20, verse 19, we finally read for the first time what the people are thinking. They said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." finally, after the law is given, after the Ten Commandments have been proclaimed, the people finally say something. And the redactors think that it would be better to have them say something in chapter 19 than here after the law is given. In fact, they, as they look at these verses, would conclude that as the law, the Ten Commandments, is given at the beginning of chapter 20, it would be better to follow those commandments with the other commandments regarding the civil laws of Israel. And so they conclude that these verses 18 through 21 probably shouldn't be here, but they should be back in chapter 19. As we approach the scriptures, as we understand that Moses is the one who wrote this book, as we understand that God, through His Spirit, used the hand of Moses to write the book of Exodus, we know that God does not make mistakes, and we know that God does not place verses out of order. God has put these verses here in this spot, in this place, so that we as His people might know something, so that we might understand something about His law, that if they were in chapter 19, we wouldn't understand. And so the question is this morning, what is that that God wants us to know and understand about His law? Well, first of all, notice that as I read a moment ago from Exodus 19, we see the description of the mountain. We see lightning and thunder. We hear of a loud trumpet blast. Smoke is billowing out from the mountain. Notice verse 18 of chapter 20. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. This verse is almost a direct repetition of what God has already said. This is what we were told in chapter 19. And now once again, God has placed it in chapter 20 for us to see and to understand something. In the Hebrew language, we describe this as a chiasm. God starts out telling us something, and then after something is revealed in between, He tells us the same thing once again. Sandwiched in the middle of these two passages is the law of God. Sandwiched between these two revelations on the mountain where God has made His appearance comes the law of God. We must not look at these verses apart from the law. We must not think that these verses should be placed somewhere else, but we must recognize that God has created it in such a way that we see the beginning of this passage, we see the ending of the passage, and we see what God has so carefully placed in between. The law is very closely tied into what happens in chapter 19. And what happens in chapter 20, verse 18 through 21. Well, what is it? Look back to chapter 19, verse 7. At the beginning of chapter 19, God appears at Mount Sinai. And the Israelites are standing before Mount Sinai, and what is revealed is how God is revealing His covenant to the people. And at the beginning of chapter 19, God declares to His people that He is the one who has rescued them from Egypt. God is the one who has carried them on eagle's wings. God is the one who promises that if they obey His covenant, they will be His treasured possession, and all the earth will be blessed through His people. But as this covenant is given, God gives Moses instructions in verse 7 So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. And the people all responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. We will do everything the Lord has said. God has made his covenant. God has proclaimed his love and what he has done for his people. And now his people have responded with one voice that they will keep the terms of his covenant. But as they say that, as it is revealed to them, they at this point do not fully understand what are the terms of his covenant. God's law has yet to be revealed. God's people must not think that they can keep the law of God. They must not think that within their own selves that they will be able to perfectly obey and keep the terms of God's covenant. When God proclaims his covenant, they enthusiastically respond, "We will do everything the Lord has said." But the law is still to come. And as God reveals his law to his people, as God appears at Mount Sinai the way he does upon that mountain, causing them to tremble with fear, God is driving them to something. Look at verse 9. The Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud, so that the people will hear me speaking with you, and they will always put their trust in you." God tells Moses the purpose of why he appears to his people in a cloud on the mountain. Why there is thunder and lightning and a loud trumpet blast. Why the smoke is billowing up from the mountain, causing the people to tremble with fear. Because God wants his people to look to Moses, to put their trust in their mediator, to listen to him. And in chapter 19, as God tells us what happens at Mount Sinai, nowhere do we read the response of the people. We read that God has appointed Moses. God has called Moses up on the mountain. God has told Moses to reveal the covenant to Israel. Once again, Moses at the end of the chapter goes up the mountain, but nowhere do we read that the people are looking to Moses for anything. But notice what happens in verse 19 of chapter 20. They said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." God has revealed himself in the thunder and the lightning and the power. But at the end of the discourse, God has also revealed himself in the terms of his covenant. And as the people come to understand this law, they know that they cannot keep this law. As they come to understand God's awesome holiness and power as he is revealed on the mountain, as the law comes from God to them down to where they are, they look to Moses. As God has revealed his covenant, as God has revealed his law, the people are driven to Moses. They are driven to trust Moses, to listen to his word, to know that as God speaks to them, they fear they will die. One of the purposes of the law as God reveals it at Mount Sinai, is to drive his people to look to Moses, to his chosen mediator. As we think of the law of God, as we have heard 10 sermons on it revealed to us in this year, one of the purposes of that law is to drive us to God's mediator. Paul tells us about this in the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Galatians, chapter 3. In Galatians, chapter 3, Paul declares this in verse 24. Galatians 3, verse 24 and 25. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, so that we might be justified by faith. Now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. Paul, in writing to the Galatians about the purpose of the law, is declaring to them that the law is not given to God's people so that they think they can legalistically obey and keep the law. The law is not the means of salvation, but as the law is revealed to God's people, it drives us to a Savior, because we know that we cannot perfectly keep this law. We know that as we stand before the holiness of God, we cannot keep it. We cannot enter into His presence. And so as the law is revealed, it drives us to Christ. It drives us to the one who has perfectly kept this law and obeyed this law and provides for us salvation and life. And so, like the people of Israel, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 19, when we think of God's law, when we hear of God's law, we say to our Savior, "Speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die." We must listen to Christ. We must listen and know what He has said and what He has done. We must look to Him for our salvation. We must trust Him with our lives. God's law drives us to Him. That's one of the purposes. In verse 20, we read this of Exodus 20. Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid." After the people have put their trust in Moses, after they are listening to him, Moses begins to act in his mediator role. "Do not be afraid." He stands between God and between the people. And then Moses reveals to them a second purpose of the law. "God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." God has given His law so that His people might fear Him. God has revealed the law at Mount Sinai in this spectacular way so that the people might fear Him, so that they might not sin. Sometimes you will hear people say, "Well, I'm not going to commit adultery, or I'm not going to murder or steal because I'm afraid of God. I know what the law says, and I don't want to go to hell." I've heard unbelievers say such things. One of the purposes of the law is that it does keep us from sinning. One of the purposes of the way God revealed it was to keep his people from sinning. But these two purposes of the law are brought together in this passage. Not only does God give us the law as we know his commands, as we know what he has revealed to us so that we will stop sinning, but he gives us the law to drive us to his covenant, to drive us to our Savior who is Christ. As we fear God, as we know his law, we look to our Savior. As we look to him, we find salvation. We find him who has provided that salvation, him who has kept the law. God has given us this law. God has given this law to his people so that they will fear him, so that they will look to Moses as we look to Christ. No, God has not put these verses here out of mistake. God has put these verses here for a very, very important reason. God has something to reveal to us here. If these verses were placed after verse 19 of chapter 19, what would we think? We would think that the people are fearful of God because God's voice is loud. We would think that the people are fearful of God and they ask Moses to speak to them for them and to speak for God to them because God's voice is loud and scary. And they are frightened. But notice what the people ask. They don't say here, Moses, have God reveal himself to only you. Because we are afraid of the mountain. We are afraid of the lightning. We are afraid of the smoke and the thunder. They don't say that, do they? Instead, what causes them to fear is God's word. Is God's law. Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. They have heard the words of God, and they fear that they might die. God's law must not be separated from us, as if what happened at Mount Sinai does not matter. As if what happened at Mount Sinai is something that happened in the past and is not for us today. God's law still stands. God's law still strikes fear into the hearts of his people. God's word, which has been revealed here, is like a shotgun. You shall not, you shall not, you shall not, you shall not. 10 times in a row as it comes down from the mountain, the people are struck with fear. You shall not, 10 straight times. That's fear. And as God's law comes to us, it should still strike us with fear. And don't think that just because you don't see a mountain here on earth that is causing you to tremble, just because there is no lightning and thunder that you look outside and see, just because you don't see a mountain with smoke billowing out from the top, that part of this revelation is no longer here. Turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, we read these words. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of a raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What was revealed at Mount Sinai still stands. God is still holy. God's people cannot keep the law. They should continue to fear him as the law is revealed to keep them from sinning. And it should drive them to their Savior. For their Savior, the Lord Jesus, died on the cross. He kept the law for them. He spoke the word of God as it was revealed in his words and in his life and how he lived. And as you fear God, as his law is revealed, you look for your salvation in Jesus. You find your salvation in him. You know what he has done for you on the cross. And together, as the law causes you to fear, you trust him. You look to him. You love him. You live for him. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we have seen this morning, your law causes us to fear. Not only was your presence terrifying for your people, but your word, as it was revealed in the commands, caused them to fear and to distance themselves from you. And Lord, we pray that as your people, your law would drive us to our Savior, that we may see that we are sinners, that we cannot be saved by our works, but as it is revealed of who you are and what we must be to know you, we pray that we would always see Christ, that we would look to the salvation that he has given us, that it would humble us to know and love him more and more each day, and that our lives would reflect him more and more. We pray that you would equip us to do this. We pray that your Spirit would be poured out upon us so that more and more, as we live longer and longer in this world, our lives will be sanctified and reflect you more each day. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.